Okay, so now it's time to go from looking at this as a general question of how we're using our personality to mold our ideas and make it happen, and deep dive into looking at how this applies to a real system that looks at your personality, who you are in the world, and what that means. Now, I'm so glad that I have Jeannie with us today for this, because Jeannie, before we talk about what we're using, tell us a little bit about personality assessments, how this one falls into it.
Yeah. When we look at, you know, I think everyone, or I shouldn't say everyone, many of us have had the opportunity, you know, in our jobs to take a personality assessment. Yet what we're usually not taught about these is that they are measuring something different. So what we're going to be talking about today is truly temperament. It's how we're hardwired. And there's a few popular systems that measure that exactly. And one is in Myers-Briggs, you know, from the 50s and 60s, that is still current today. And then the Kersey Temperament Sorter. And Kersey has done all of his work from Myers-Briggs, as well as his son has done his entire life work on this as well. And there's also, you know, another one out there, the 16 personalities. So these are all measuring your innate preferences. Then there's that whole other side to us, which is character, which are your experiences and habits and how other people have told you life should be. That together with your temperament creates the one unique you that nobody else is. But when we're talking about these assessments today, we are talking about temperament. There's 16 of them. You're born with one and you don't get to pick which one you get. We're talking about that.
Awesome. And so for people who know their Myers-Briggs MBTI type, so the four letter, so, you know, I think I mentioned before, I'm an ENFP. As you'll learn, Jeannie's an INTJ. If you know what those letters mean, then just listen on. If you don't know what they mean, you're like, I'm kind of curious, what is my type? Then the first step to that is go back to the bonus above this in the book, above the link that sent you here in the book. Look at my personality resources. In there, you'll see a few different assessments. One of them refers to MBTI or Myers-Briggs or Kersey. I use one of those terms in there. And you can go and do a really simple free assessment. And that's what you call a type indicator. So this is really important. If you're not going to do it and get some bot on the internet telling you who you are, you're going to feed in a bit of information. You'll get an indication of where it looks like you fall on the scale. And Jeannie, just before we go into using this practically, for people who don't know the assessment, why is that distinction so important that I just say it's an indicator and not like a full-on result?
Because about, you know, up to 15% of the people that I work with actually test out incorrectly. And the reason being, you know, there's almost like an epidemic going on in the last probably 6, 7, 8 years where people are just working so hard in the workplace, trying to fit in and not get let go and you know, be successful, that they're forgetting what they prefer, and they've worked so hard on practicing who they're supposed to be. And so that's why people are testing out incorrectly, you know, and self-awareness is also a part of that. So a verification process is really important to understand you've got that foundation right before you build on anything else, because temperament isn't what you're going to do for your free range life. It's the style by which you're going to be successful. And that is core to building a business that fits who you are.
Absolutely agree with that. And you, but whatever we've linked to in there, by the way, I'm not like backing up necessarily what they say about the profiles. I'm just using it as a way of getting indication. By the way, it's just my experience personally with free assessments like that. I have always tested consistently correctly. I've had it done professionally. I've had it done free. I've tested correctly. Not everyone does. So take it, use it as you will. It's most probably super close, if not correct. Use it for the purposes of listening through this. And if you want to work with an assessor, do. I know, Jeannie, how many years experience do you have doing this, Jeannie, using these?
This is scary. over 15 years. Yeah.
Over 15 years. So what, someone like Jeannie, you can get done, but don't stress about it. You just do the assessment, think free range, and listen to what we're going to say. So apologies to people who already knew their type and is like, get on with it. We want to like dive in and know what's going on. We're going to dive in now. We're using this as one example of how you can use personality to really make things happen as you, because this is the thing we're not told, that different people do make things happen in different ways. And we can get frustrated. We can feel like we're not enough. We can feel like we're never quite getting it right if we don't understand that. And this is just one way to look at it. So having said that, I am going to hand over now to Jeannie. Now, Jeannie, we're not going to walk through all 16 personality profiles right now, are we?
No, that gets a bit confusing. So there are four core temperaments, and each of the four temperaments have four unique temperaments within there. So in other words, there's what we call the four square. And then within each one of those, it's divided into two extroverts and two introverts, which equals 16.
So just to be clear, so there's 16 groups, 16 profiles, and it's divided into four, right?
That is correct. Absolutely.
Perfect. And for people who like me, who are quite visual, we've provided on this page, I think underneath this audio, you'll see a little link to the bonus to look at in the second half of this audio, the sheet to look at. You can pull that up while we're talking, and this will just give you a visual so that when Jeannie's talking you through, you'll remember where things sit if you know your profile, or just make it that imagine. Just have a look at that one or two sheet that we put in as a little extra to accompany what Jeannie's saying, if you like. If you're moving around, you can just listen without looking at it. That's fine as well. So Jeannie, I'm going to hand over now. We're looking at the four groupings. Tell us about them. What do we need to know and how can we use them?
Yeah. So there are four different ways that people prefer to live their life. And it's what we found over the years is it really is observable. Some people prefer to talk about reality, the things of today. And some people like you and I, Marianne, prefer to talk about what can be. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then we also have folks who do what's right, and there's other folks who do what works. So when we talk about these four different categories that, you know, all 16 fall into, real quickly, I'm just going to give a short definition to have folks be able to, you know, kind of wrap their head around, you know, which one might I be? And really, it's process of elimination a lot of times in saying, which ones am I not? Mm-hmm. Because it's almost easier that way. And then, you know, coming to your final two and then saying, oh, you know, this one actually feels stronger for me. Now, the clue here, the key here is no one feels 100% any temperament because of our character side. So it really is which one feels the closest for you. So let's just start with the guardians. Guardians are very concerned citizens who trust authority. They'd like to join groups. They seek security. They really prize gratitude. And they are very, very cautious, humble, and traditional people. Okay, so that's the guardian group. Now, if we want to go and move on to the idealist group actually is, again, more of the what can be. Marianne falls in this group of idealists. And if we think about what an idealist really, how they prefer to live their life, Marianne, they're very enthusiastic. They really trust intuition and they really seek their true self. Thus, Marianne probably testing out correctly all the time on these assessments because she is so self-aware. That is very, very important to idealists. They prize meaningful relationships and they really dream constantly of attaining new wisdom. Okay, so that really is the idealist group. Now, the next overview we're going to jump to is the artisan. Now, artisans, I always put a smile on my face when I talk about artisans. Artisans make up about 30% of the population, by the way, and I'm just going to back up a little bit. Guardians make up 45% of the population. So in a numbers game, we want to think about that, right? And idealists make up roughly 15% of the population. But getting back to artisans, artisans are excitable. The one word I use for artisans is freedom. If they don't have their freedom, I'll tell you what, they are like a caged lion. They seek stimulation. And when I talk about the word adrenaline, it always falls in that artisan category. I'll use that word with artisans, and they laugh and go, oh my gosh, yes, I am an adrenaline junkie. But now, this is a perfect example. There's four different types of artisans. The introverted are not going to be, you know, necessarily the type who are going to be out and singing and playing and dancing all night. They may really play, because artisans are all about fun and play. They may play in a craft store. Okay, so remember, the types within each of these groupings all have a unique style themselves, although they're similar in terms of what they prefer. Does that make sense, Marianne? Do you need any more clarification there?
No, that's fine for now. I know we're going to get more into it as we go.
Okay, perfect. And then we're going to come to the final group, the rationals. And this is actually the group that I live in. We very much are problem-solving people. And again, look at what I do for a living. I help people find that answer, that solution of, you know, what they want to do. We trust logic. We yearn for achievement, thus all the certifications that we get as rationals. We prize technology, and technology can be any type of system. I look at this 16-letter personality system as technology for me. In fact, there's been over 50 million assessments done, so it really is a scientific modern-day conversation. That's how we as rationals think. And we really dream of understanding how the world works. So half the rationals are on the people system side. That's me. The other half of the rationals are on the true mathematical, engineering, scientific side. So very similar in understanding how the world works. We just prefer different sides of that. So that is just a real high-level explanation of the four categories that make up the 16 temperaments.
Deanie, thank you for such a rational explanation. And thinking about this, it's such an idealist answer. The first time that I came across this, I remember thinking, I was surrounded by rationals. I love my rationals, as you know. I was surrounded by rationals in my work, in like my personal life. And I heard the idealist exact thing, and I was like, oh my God, yes, that's me. It's like, felt like coming home. And I heard the rational thing. It's almost like I forgot the idealist thing. And I was like, yeah, no, that's the right one. That's the one that I really am. And like, I felt like a really different energy in my body when I said that, because I didn't think that the idealist thing had value, because I was surrounded by people who were achieving by being the rationals that they were. Do you ever see that when one type or grouping thinks that they've been moving in circles, or they've been moving in a way where they have to act like another type, and they start to wonder if that's really them?
Every day, Marianne. And that's the difference, really. And that's the difference between practice and preference. And that's why sometimes it does take a professional to help sort that out if you're very confused. And another point about, you know, taking these assessments is I like to look at it. It doesn't matter what the report says about you. What matters is if it resonates and you believe what the report says about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, every day, maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I can tell you every week as I'm working with folks, I always, you know, get a sigh. And I think we talked about this in our earlier talk, where people are disappointed that is their temperament. You know, they want to be something else. You know, I have that. I've always wanted to be an artisan crafter, and I'm not, but I can have my dreams, right? But you know, when we really realize how we're hardwired and that's what we got, sometimes it takes a little bit to adjust to that mentally. And then once we tap into that, that's where the power begins.
And I'll say one final idealist thing before we let my fellow rational here go into the details of this. If anyone, you know, if you've come across assessments before and you're wondering, you know, how powerful can it be? I would say that for me, this particular profile system and the idea of personality is what kickstarted my entire journey of what I'm doing today. I remember I was sitting in a job in a big media company and feeling like I'd always been used to doing so well at what I did, you know, through school, through like, you know, projects. I was pretty good at, like, you know, I put my mind something, I'd figure it out. And I, for the first time, I just felt at sea. Like I had to put in so much effort to get the results I wanted. I felt like I was just squishing myself. And one day, as part of a training, I did an assessment. I came out as an idealist champion, an ENFP in specific profiling. And I remember looking at the assessor and the guy I was talking to and saying, do people like me actually get paid to do things? Like, do we get paid to do things as us? And he was like, yeah, there are loads of you out there and you have thriving careers. And it was this moment in my life that I had was so unhappy. And it turned out I was in a job, you'll love this, Jeannie, that was made for my opposite profile. It was made for an ISTJ, the absolute opposite of me, a guardian. And I was completely, I had to show up every day and change who I was. And it just changed my life because I realized there were people like me out there. And my goal from that point was to figure it out, figure out how to find out where we fit. And so I started out thinking it was about finding the career that, you know, people of my type fit into, which is obviously step one. We come across assessments like, what sort of career does people of my type do? But then as I went through, you know, my journey, I realized that yes, that can help. But when you are your own boss, the coolest thing is that it's about how you do it. That you can go and actually, if you're careful about picking a job career, you can say the same. You could be in any industry, but you could find a job that fits your type of person, and you can find it in self-employed world. And I always say, when I moved to my next job after that, I was thinking I want to go free range, wasn't sure how to do it. So I went to another job. It wasn't like my ideal job, but it was ticking like maybe 2/3 of who I was for the first time, because I was actively looking for different things. And so that is what I would say, is that this, to me, the reason I'm passionate about this isn't because you do an assessment, it tells you everything about what's going to happen and where you, what business you should start. But it tells you, guess what? There are people out there just like you who are doing things and they're making the most of who they are. And that's why I'm passionate about it, because if they're doing it, it means there's a little doorway there that even if you're not meeting those people today, even if the people around you and your influences are different from that and your industry is different from that, guess what? That's not the whole world. And so today I want to let Jeannie, I will finally stop talking and let Jeannie show you a little bit of the rest of the world in terms of how different groupings make things happen. So Jeannie, I'm really handing over to you now and stepping back.
This is just wonderful, wonderful information. And I, you know, in sharing that, Marianne, there's something that we should be taught in school, you know, and I'm talking like grade school and high school, that because of each of our temperaments, we were born with a purpose. And to your point, we can serve that purpose in a myriad of different ways. I have throughout my career, many different industries, yet that purpose is so telling. Now I'm going to share Marianne's purpose here because it is so real. It's so clear. Marianne's purpose is to motivate others with powerful convictions about the truth of people and or issues. And look at what you have done in this world. You've done exactly that in the subject matter that issue is important to you. And for me, my purpose in life as an INTJ is to make order out of complex things. I did that when I built my first, you know, very large service business. I did that in healthcare reform when the 3,000-page document came out here in the U.S. I did that in construction and development. Some of those worlds I absolutely despised. I hated it. The content wasn't right for me. Other worlds, I loved construction and development. It was, you know, one of the most fun times I've had. But this world now is right for me in back being, you know, my free range way. So and I just wanted to share. Go ahead, Marianne.
No, I was going to say, I just hearing you say that, it's you're making such an important point. I just wanted to support you on here that you've, in your story there, it's about matching up the thing, a sort of an area, a topic, a field that you have interest in that, you know, lights you up. Unlike, say, I don't know, maybe your thing isn't insurance, for example.
and mine is not.
Yours is
very
not.
Clearly.
And for some people it is, which I'm very happy for, but it's not for you. And so it's matching the thing, which, by the way, the rest of the book and Free Range Humans talks a lot about the thing, and you can experiment with that. You can run projects to find that, but there's no point finding a thing that you're interested in and then trying to make it happen like someone else, because A, it won't be effective, and B, you actually won't like it, and you'll wonder why you don't like the thing that you thought you liked. That makes sense. So I always see it as marrying these two things, plus with the overlay of the life you want. That's a totally different conversation we're not going into here. But that idea of, like, it's not enough just to be interested, you have to love it. And by the way, we put so much emphasis on interest and passions, I think, because we leave the who you are out of the picture. So we actually, this helps you take some weight off the idea of, oh my God, it has to be my overriding passion in life. It's like, well, actually, you have to be like really into it. But if you're doing it as you, guess what? That takes so much of the load that you can enjoy the doing of it day to day, that you can feel like you're being enough in what you're doing. You're getting results. And so that's why I'm so passionate, because we've talked too much just about the topic of passions, which is important, and we talk about in other areas, but we don't talk enough about who you are, and that this bonus is here to reset that balance so you have better tools to work with. Does that reflect what you're saying, G?
Perfectly.
Perfect.
So are we ready to talk about making things happen, how we're going to do that, and how 100%. We do that differently?
Yes.
Okay. So it's interesting. This time we're going to go what I call across the temperaments, but there's four unique ways that people make things happen. Half of the temperaments, so 8 of those 16 temperaments, are much more directive in nature. We can call that the cooler side of life. Then the other half are much more informative, communicative in nature. We can call that the warmer side of life. And those folks that are in that directive area, there's two different ways that these folks prefer to make things happen. One row, it's all the extroverts, okay? There's an extrovert in each one of the four categories, the guardian, idealist, artisan, and rational that we went through earlier. So one set of those extroverts are take charge. If they're not in charge, we might as well put them in charge, because they're going to act in charge anyway. And when I share that with one of those temperaments, they laugh and go, absolutely. So these are your extroverted take charge people. They absolutely need to take charge. For instance, if, you know, Starbucks is not running properly, they may come in there and really tell them how to run it properly. They are just going to take charge every situation that they have. Oh, so that is four of the extroverted temperaments. Take charge. And this makes up about just over 25% of the population.
And by the way, if people reading along with us, this is on the How We Make Things Happen slide. Jeannie's talking about the first line, which you can see is called Take Charge. You can see which profile she's talking about on there, if you like.
Thank you, Marianne. Thank you. And and so again, that is the 26% of the population need to make things happen by being in charge. Perfect. Now, just about that same number, 25% of the population, make things happen alone. I fall in this category. And people say, well, you're in these sessions all day long, Jeannie. Uh-uh. I get everyone's homework within, you know, 48 hours before I meet with them. I do all of my thinking work. I create all of my programs. I do all of my mechanicness, I call it, alone in, you know, in my thinking. Then I just get to come back and share and help mentor, teach. Okay. Now, there's also just a couple quick examples of this as well. There's one call is, if you're looking at the visual, the artisan crafter also falls in here. Now, there's a gal who had went through the program, and she works for Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream. I think a lot of people know Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream. Yep. And she was actually the crafter with her five senses as an artisan. She creates the craft of flavors of ice cream. Okay, that is done alone. You know, even a house inspector, the guardian inspector, they go in the home and they inspect alone. They don't have a whole group collaborating together. So this is key to having, you know, tweaking and molding your business idea to fit you. Now, the next group on this warmer side of life are the collaborators. And this is where Marianne falls. And so this group of folks needs to collaborate in order to make things happen. And when I work with collaborators, I actually pair them up, or they might not get through the program because everything stops when they're not collaborating. Now, Marianne is a collaborator. Do you have anything you'd like to share on that?
Yes, I would. And by the way, just to be clear, guys, I'm very independent. I actually grew up as an only child. So I'm a very weird collaborator in that I need a lot of alone time. So if you need lots of alone time and you're reading your profile and collaborator, and you're like, is that me? Yes, you can still need alone time to recharge or whatever it might be. But when it comes to making things happen, if you've ever tried to do something and hit a wall and you found that you've been doing it by yourself and you fall into this category, stop doing it by yourself. This book that you came to this from, guess what? Jeannie, you were with me when I was doing the second edition. Do you remember how I did it?
Collaborating. We had a lot of conversations about that, in fact.
The amount of calls I had to do with poor Jeannie, who's like working alone. I'd be like, Jeannie, I need you. Let's talk about everything. When we get stuck, we need to collaborate. And that doesn't mean we can't be solopreneurs officially, but it means that forming either friendships, which is the ENFP, the champion way, I'd say I form friendships. Other people might say they form partnerships. Other people might, you know, behind the scenes collaborate. It doesn't mean you have to officially have a business partner, though a lot of people do. It just means that you want to make sure you're not trying to make things happen day to day alone. We can go into what that means specifically later, but let's just say that if you're ever stuck, don't tell yourself I should be able to do it differently. Have a conversation, bring someone in with you, and don't isolate would be a huge advice for collaborators.
Yeah, yeah. And there's something here. I'm just going to give a little hint. We don't have time and it may be a little confusing to get into it today. So this is just a little clue, a little hint. When we pair, there's something that I call purposeful pairing that I try to do with every single human that I work with. I absolutely do it. Masterminds, INTJs, as well as champions, ENFPs, as one example only, are absolutely made to pair together. And it's true. You know, Marianne and my character work really well together. You know, we're both really hard workers. We both really believe in this particular subject matter, right? And so that works. But from a temperament perspective as well, we literally were born to work together from a temperament perspective. Aww. Now, again, you know, I don't want to get sidetracked on that. It literally is just a clue. There are purposeful pairings for every single temperament. And so one other thing I just wanted to kind of reiterate that Marianne just talked about is that, you know, you talked about, you know, you can be a solopreneur and partner. I actually call that a thing. I call people who are collaborators and or, you know, need to work with someone else to make things happen a partnerpreneur. It does not mean, to your point, Marianne, that you cannot own your sole business. That's perfect. But you are a partnerpreneur in the way that you're going to have.
Oh my God. I mean, guys, I'll give you one little story. Like when I started doing my own thing, I was like super stuck for the first month, as we all are, by the way, especially because there were no books like this out there at the time, just like really boring ones. And so I was super stuck. And it wasn't until I started meeting people. I met one person in particular who was also a kind of a collaborator type, but it was like someone within like similar enough to me. We started collaborating. We started like connecting with other people. And that's where my first money came in. Like I literally wasn't moving in an income way until I met other people. Because that's how much of a collaborator I am. Doesn't not saying everyone has to be like that, but just, I wanted to share that because when it comes to how we make things happen, this is so, so important because you don't see it on the surface. You just see the brand and you see the person and you don't realize, for me, I have pretty much never done something without a project. I call them project partners. either officially, like you kind of see them around, or you won't see them. They're just someone who I'm talking to behind the scenes. So keep that in mind. Always collaborate.
I'm laughing as I am, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm laughing as you're saying that on this end, because I had to stop collaborating. You know, I was trying to collaborate to make things happen as I was kicking off this business, and I literally had to stop. I went into isolation, and I started getting up between, you know, anywhere between 1:30 to 2:30 in the morning for months, and I just went alone and built this program. You know, and of course, you know, was working with people at the time to help me build it. But yeah, I had to do the opposite of Marianne. And this is exactly the point of why we are having this conversation today. It is critical in how you're going to make things happen. And that's really important, because that's how you get paid.
Perfect.
Now there's the last group. The accommodators.
And I was going to say, they've been accommodating us so kindly by waiting.
And they have. And this is, you know, this is one of my favorite groups of people. I have been fascinated by this group of folks. Accommodators don't mean, you know, the word doesn't mean that they accommodate what everybody else wants. That is not what this is about. Accommodators make things happen by providing information and providing models that other people use to make it happen. So if we look at, in an example, this rational architect here, I was working with a woman named Paige, who is an environmental scientist, and she creates the models for environmentally safe runoff from family farms that the farmers use to make it happen. If you look at a true architect, an architect builds the blueprint that the builder uses to make it happen. Now, I'm going to use an example of someone that I believe you're speaking about in this book, Marianne, and her name is Louise, who is a virtual assistant.
I give her a first name check because her section didn't fit in the end, even though I love you, Louise, if you're listening to this. But yeah, tell Louise a story, because you may see the name Louise at some point and be like, what was that story? Go ahead.
So Louise is a guardian protector, and she built her free range business, becoming a virtual assistant. And that's at the same time I was building my business. And so at that time I was doing a lot of webinars, and what she would do is she would provide the technology and get everything in order for it to happen, or let me tell you, it never would have happened. So this group of accommodators are, again, the introverted group, and they're more quiet in nature, and they don't like to be out there as much. And so it's really important to realize that does not mean that you cannot have an amazing free range business. Once again, it comes back, it's the style by which you're going to do it. And making things happen is one of those dynamics of the style, if you will, one piece of the style. So
I believe it's not incorrect to say that Louise is just one example. I know she's booked out as a VA right now, and she more than, I believe, replaced her income through the work she does now, which is being the person that she is, which I don't know, remember which profile she is. She's ISFJ or ISFP, but one of those two. And that's just one example. Not saying that's the only thing anyone does, but you know, this is an example of doing things as you.
Yeah, Louise is the ISFJ, which is very guardian-like, you know, providing services for the community, doing what's right. Okay, so, but yes, and I have examples. Now, here's a really interesting point here, and one to take to heart. This does not tell us what we should do, especially if you're looking at the visual. You know, if you see idealist teacher, you know, and you fall under that ENFJ, I get the question all the time, should I be a teacher? No, it's the style by which you're going to do something. You know, words have funny meanings, and we all have a little bit of a bias with words, but these literally are just words that help us understand a little bit more about the style. So as an example, I could go to any city and find 16 photographers that fit in every one of these 16 temperaments. But the style by which they do photography is going to be absolutely different by category as well as by individual temperament. Mm. So think of this as you can, to your point earlier, Marianne, we can be in a myriad of different industries. We can, you know, we need to find, to look at our passions and what we really care about, what's important to us for the subject matter, the content of that thing we're going to build. Yet the style by which we do it is what is going to make you love your business and wake up every day just loving what you do.
Jeannie, there is so much I could say to this. I was listening in and thinking how helpful it is to have this information up front. And I'm wondering if we could maybe go a step further now and actually take people who have done their profile, so people who do know which of the 16 types is most like them, and go through just quickly, one at a time, two factors which I know from you, having talked to you over the years, are so important in finding, refining, and doing your thing. And those two things are your purpose and creativity, which are different for each type, right?
Absolutely, right. And because we were born with a temperament, we all were born with a very specific purpose, and we each have a unique creativity style as well.
Wow. Oh, I would love to hear that. So how would you like to run through that for people?
Well, how about if we run through each one of the 16 temperaments? And again, if you know at this point what temperament you are, you can just sort through this. You can ignore the other 15 and just take this nugget of information for yourself, for your temperament. How does that sound, Marianne?
That sounds awesome. So let me clear, at the end of this, people listening through, you can dive in and focus in on your type. You can listen to all of them if you're curious. But at the end of it, if you've done the profile, you should know how you make things happen. You have an overview of that already. You'll know what type of creativity really fits you the best, which is really helpful, because something that really changed my life with this, Jeannie, was realizing we're all creative, but we're creative in such different ways, and you have a sense of purpose. And we put all these together with who you are, what you have to offer, and it just helps, in my experience, hone your mind, hone your thinking, either expand options or give you a filter, just such a key idea, give you a filter to start to filter through options and make them more you. So with that in mind, Jeannie, can I just hand over to you and go through the 16 types now?
Sounds perfect.
Okay, great. So as you listen, guys, think of this as a filter. Think of this as something that's not constraining you, but is allowing you to get curious about how you can make something more you. How can you tweak it? How can you be enough with what you are and go from that point? So Jeannie, I'm going to hand over now. Go for it.
Okay, we're going to start with the Guardian group, the ESTJ, also called the Guardian Supervisor. The purpose for the supervisor is simply making sure that others do as they should do, and they don't do as they shouldn't do. So really, you know, honing that in and keeping that gate around how others behave. Supervisors are eager to enforce rules and procedures, and they're really serious. If you're an ESTJ, you're going to be smiling right now because you're going to be saying, yes, I am serious about seeing to it that others stick to the mark. That is it. That is the purpose. Now, if you take that purpose and say, okay, how creatively am I going to put this in play? Mm-hmm. It's all about solving real world problems in a practical, elegant, no-nonsense way for ESTJs. Now, I hear this a lot from all four of the different Guardian groups. Oh my gosh, why do I have to be this temperament? I want to be this artistic creativity or creative person. And yet, creativity for the Guardians and for the supervisor in particular is about solving real-world problems. And because ESTJs have such a high rate of productivity and completion, we can depend on you for your creations to be realistic, detailed, traditional, and problem-solving in terms of improving processes, and we can absolutely count on you to get it done.
Perfect. Love that.
So again, purpose, creativity style, and we know the way you make things happen is take charge. Combine those three together, pick whatever subject, again, from Marianne's tools in terms of what your idea is, and you will grow to your greatest potential. So now it's different. It's tweaked a bit for the ISTJ Guardian Inspector. The inspector's purpose is to inspect, meaning looking really carefully and thoroughly through the products of an institution, if you will, with very quiet dedication. Now, think about this. This could be a family budget. It could be the division's budget in an organization. It could be the grocery store's produce. But all must go under your inspection so there's no discrepancies or no irregularities or no mistakes. That's it. That is the purpose. Now, the creativity style for ISTJs mean, again, very practical solutions, but with great attention to detail and a meticulous memory of what's worked before. So combining this detail inspection with knowing what's worked before is the creativity style for inspectors. And, you know, interestingly enough, creativity can be found in routine and can involve following the rules. In fact, if we think about it, most discoveries and innovations came about by combining things like combining technologies or making small incremental improvements on what we already have. Mm-hmm. That is golden for ISTJs.
Perfect. Love that.
All right, moving on. The ESFJ, guardian provider. Now, this is, again, more of the people, the warmer side of the guardians, the extroverted. ESFJs are born to serve the needs of others. ESFJs are born to serve the needs of others. Now, interestingly enough, the provider provides provisions. Okay, so it's the things that are necessary in life. You're going to very much find ESFJs serving their purpose in service occupations where you're able to we're going to visibly see you and you're going to be honestly concerned with your customer's welfare. So this is the people-to-people jobs that you see. Now, the creativity style, it lies in very neat, precise, detailed, but highly personal, expressive beliefs in your service of others. So what I mean by that is you're outstanding, and I don't use that word lightly, at organizing people. So whatever it is you create, your purpose is to meet the needs of others. And using your beliefs, that's how it's going to manifest itself. And of course, being a guardian, you're going to do this on time, on budget. And for the ESFJ, I could very well even hear you planning all of this out loud. So that's the creativity style and the purpose combined together. And the way you make things happen is through collaboration. And we're actually hearing that. It's all tied together in this nice package for the ESFJ. Onward, the ISFJ, the guardian protector. So again, of service, but in a very different way than their extroverted friends, the providers. Service means furnishing others with the necessities of life that actually keeps people safe and secure. It's about guarding others from life's, their pitfalls, the dangers of life, and keeping people safe and secure. So that is the purpose for the protector. Now, combine that with the ISFJ's unique creativity style. This one is a little trickier because it's hard for people who aren't ISFJs necessarily to spot this because it happens behind the scenes. It again is tied to your dearest held values, but you are inspired in your creativity by the act of helping others. And again, using powerful memories of what has worked before for you. Especially these details for you uniquely are tied to people. You remember details of people. So whether you're baking cookies or, you know, celebrating a friend's birthday, it's all going to come together behind the scenes in small acts that come from a genuine caring place, remembering all the details of yesterday. That is a very quiet but powerful creativity style serving your purpose. So that was a quick tidbit, but again, golden nuggets, if you will, for each of the four guardian temperaments. Any thoughts, questions on that, Marianne, or I can jump right into the next group?
Go straight in. I'm loving hearing this.
Okay, wonderful. So now we're going to jump into, let's pick the idealist group. So the ENFP, the idealist teacher.
ENFJ, you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you so much. ENFJ, absolutely.
See, you taught me well. I know my principal thing.
And where is my guardian inspector to tell me that I have made a terrible error here? Because they would be the first to catch that. So, okay. So the ENFJ, the idealist teacher.
Perfect.
And really, the purpose is teaching. If you are an ENFJ, you are a natural teacher. You have this uncanny ability to influence the people around you. And it's with your enthusiasm and your charisma that you inspire action from others. And the hint here for you, push yourself to larger audiences. You have the gift of making every single person in that room feel like you're speaking uniquely to them. That is how you're going to serve your greatest purpose. But it's really pushing yourself to build larger audiences. Now, tie this together with your creativity style. Your style takes the form of leading missions for causes related to humanity. So if you think about yourself as a natural persuader, okay, you can think on your feet. You can tell your personal values to others to inspire action. That is your creative style. So again, think about addressing a crowd, making everyone in that room feel like they're being personally addressed is part of that creativity. Wow. And remember, you make things happen by being in charge. And this is exactly
that. Describes all the ENFJs that I know who are doing well. That's so perfect.
It is. And you know, it's interesting. You said it describes them, that the ones that are doing well.
Yeah.
We're going to know the people who are serving their purpose because these are the people who are doing really well, who are growing to their greatest potential. Others are still in the weeds, you know, working so hard, trying it. But it's these people that are going to grow to who we actually hear about in the news, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. It's like you can do anything, but you know, why would you tell yourself to be someone that you're not? I think it's the big theme in free range learn, that one.
Absolutely. Okay, on next to the INFJ, the idealist counselor, so the introverted INFJ. Mm-hmm. This, you will truly be serving your purpose when you focus on the side of mentoring and helping people realize their human potential. If you are an INFJ, you're genuinely going to enjoy guiding those, now this is really important, that you trust towards greater personal fulfillment. So it's not just guiding anyone. There's a very big trust factor in serving your purpose with those around you. Okay, so you need to really be concentrating on the people you trust and like-minded people. Now, taking that and using your creativity style. So if you are an INFJ, your creativity is driven by the possibilities that you see in people. Your strength, the inspiration, it all comes from a combination of this imagination you have of fantasy, kind of like collided with theory. Okay, and by using that, and aligning people for a mission, you're going to beautify the environment and you're going to allow people to see what can be or improve upon their own ability or own condition. Mm-hmm. And you're going to implement these visions that are in harmony with yourself. That's really a big deal, again, for idealist counselors, INFJs. When you're in harmony with yourself and you're counseling others around you with this and bringing strength and inspiration, it's all, again, a bucket. This is like a big nugget for you. If you do it in this way, oh, you will grow to your greatest potential.
Perfect.
Onward. Marianne, the ENFP, the idealist champion. Now, let's see how true this holds in this example, because we know Marianne is an ENFP. So, if you are an ENFP, Your purpose is to experience events that affect people's lives and then relate these stories you've uncovered by disclosing some truth about people and issues. And you're going to motivate others around this with your powerful convictions. Does that resonate with you, Marianne?
Oh, completely. Yes.
It's who you are. I mean, it's like why we know you. It's what you do, right? You tell your stories and you are disclosing truth about people and issues, especially now you're in your subject matter, right? Where you are an expert and motivating with your powerful conviction. Oh my gosh, yes. Now your creativity style as an ENFP is centered on people and human behavior. It doesn't come for you by acting as a lone wolf, but through understanding people, collaborating, and motivating others to be their best. Mm-hmm. Successful innovation, especially large-scale creations, requires people's support. And that is your greatest contribution as an ENFP, because it comes through anticipating people's reactions to change. So I'm going to say that in a different way. As an ENFP, you do have this amazing gift to anticipate people's reactions to change. And the successful innovation in the largest scales requires that, and that's what you have. So this is your creativity style. It is big, it is powerful, and it allows you to grow to your potential and, frankly, change the world.
You know, I'd never heard that last part about anticipate reactions to change, but it absolutely resonates. It's something else I'd ever considered before, but it feels, yeah, completely at home with that.
And so really when you're thinking about what you do, Marianne, and the lives of people you're changing, you do understand that this is change for us, and you help us with your stories, and that is your creativity style. And every time you're tapping into that, we get more and more and more of you, meaning the world. Beautiful.
Love that. Thank you.
Beautiful. Okay, so then the INFP, idealist healer. Now this is the side of mentoring that actually is helping people heal through helping and mentoring. Okay, so that's the difference for this purpose. It's very similar to the other idealist temperaments, yet this is an, again, very quiet way providing information to others to help them heal, whether it be through words or whether it be through music or whether it be through coaching. Okay. Mm-hmm. Creativity now, again, aligns with a mission to beautify the environment, to teach people how to heal things that have hurt them deeply in the past. So the creativity style is tapping into a little bit of that emotion, a little bit of that, maybe even again, pain of others, but in the most beautiful way, helping them ease out of that into a life where they can see their own human potential in a way of being able to be healthy and happy in life.
Yeah.
Now, do you see as the four examples with the guardians and the four examples with the healers, they're similar in nature. And again, Marianne, I can see pieces of each one of these in you, but when you tap in more, you know, in a greater way to the one that is your temperament, that is the core. And then these other pieces each have its own little, small difference to them. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying?
Get it. Yeah. And we all have a piece of them, you know, especially within our temperament, I'm sure across temperaments, but it's really interesting. I've always found with any personality work that the power for me is in the smallest differences. It's not like we kind of know who we're not on a big scale, generally, but it's those moments when is it your very best thing or your second best thing that I think makes such a difference when it comes to stepping into your biggest flow. They're the things that have changed my life and lives of my clients in the biggest ways. So it's really interesting to hear these minute differences and just sit with them. Because as you were talking, I was like, I've never considered this idea of anticipating how reactions to change, for example, for me as the ENFP. But actually, when I think of my own creativity, if I'd known that at the beginning, I think there's a lot of things that I felt like I should be that I probably wouldn't have wasted so much emotional energy on. If I'd said, hang on, hold on a sec, you know, is this to do with, you know, creating change in, you know, understanding how people react to change? Is it to do with something to do with that? And would most of my ideas actually were related to that when they were the ones that hit. So it's really nice to see this and see, as you say, the incremental differences between profiles.
It's interesting because every word that you just said, I could duplicate in my life as well. Really, you know, and all that time wasted, you know, if I only would have known. And that's why for folks hearing this, you know, lucky for you, you've picked up Marianne's book, because this, I keep saying this is the golden nugget, and I don't say that lightly. There is, take this and you know, post it on your forehead so you look in the mirror wherever you need to, because this is, if you keep coming back to this, you will find the answers you're looking for.
Ooh, yes. And just to, before, I know we might lose some idealists now because we're off going off being ideal. And thinking about, before we do, because I know we have another groupings to go through, I just want to say a thought, this applies to everyone, that as always in free range land, the idea is to use something to open a doorway for yourself, not to create a barrier for yourself. So if you are coming across this and say, I literally have no idea what to do with information with where I am right now, I would suggest, and please tell me if you agree, Jeannie, that you take this and you park it for future you. You use it when you do have an idea. How can you tweak it to have a little bit more? How can you maybe get creative in thinking about where this piece we've just described about you already is in there that you may be overlooking? You know, for example, I'll stick with my profile because it's one clearly it's in my head right now. You know, if someone was an ENFP and listened to this and said, wait a second, my idea has nothing to do with anticipating how people's reactions to change, I would challenge that and say, within any idea, there's probably going to be an element of that. How can you draw it out 10% more? So I'd always be using this as a doorway to, if you can't see how to do it at all, park it for now. We'd rather you took action on what is available to you now rather than got stuck. But when you do have a chance to come back to it, just say, how can I bring it in 10% more? How can I tweak this a bit more? Or how can I choose an idea that's maybe a bit more in line with that, if that's available to me? So use this as a helper, not as a hinderer, is always my advice when it comes to these things. Do you agree with that, Jeannie?
I absolutely agree with that. And you used a word earlier that I too use consistently, filter. These are filters. It's not what you're doing. It's right, the style by which you're going to do it and ways you're going to grow it, as I say, to your greatest potential. So yes, you know, if you can add 10% more into it today, or how can I shift an idea a little bit more in order to have it fit my filters? Because
exactly,
it's easier to do once you have a list of filters. So start your list of filters. We've given you three in this bonus section, meaning how Absolutely. You make things happen, your purpose and your purpose and your creativity style. These are three very important filters, and then you can add additional filters. Oh, I want to work from home or whatever else those are, but these are very important.
And they're part of it. And remember, we're giving you a lot of information and bonuses here, but there's always more to it. You know, when we work with people in the Ideas Adventure, there's a lot more depth to this. People work with Jeannie, there's more depth. So this is stuff just to help you on your way. But we do acknowledge you're getting a lot of information right now. So process it as you will. And with that, let's move on to people who are itching to hear their own profile. Which ones have we got left? Which group?
We're going to jump into the artisan group, and then we'll finish up with the rational group.
Awesome. Great stuff.
So the artisan group, we have the ESTP, the artisan promoter. And if we think about the ESTP and the purpose for the ESTP, it really is getting others in to hear about a project, to hear about a venture, and then winning them over to your side, persuading them to have confidence in you and going along with what you propose. That is the purpose for an artisan promoter. So again, if you think about ideas, tweaking them to this right will put promoters, and promoters naturally tend to do these types of things anyway, but again, think of the art of putting forward a project or a venture and then winning others to your side. that is, you know, based on your temperament, what you were born to do. Now, what does that creativity style look like for you? It's really sensing all the facts in your environment, taking them in. Because remember, as an artisan, you're a super sensor. And using your five senses, you can, again, evaluate the situation, take action on the spur of the moment. I'm always jealous of artisans for this. And looking as you leap. So that your creativity style is very hands-on in the here and now and helping your purpose of winning others to your side and having them going along with what you propose. Mm. Okay, so that's the artisan promoter. All right, excellent. So the next profile is the ISTP artisan crafter. So as an ISTP, you have an amazing master of all things, think tools, equipments, instruments of all kinds. Now, whatever your choice of that instrument is, it needs to extend your human power. Now, you can think about it as an Excel document or even a surgeon's tool or a hammer, but anything that extends your human power and you actually master that, that is your purpose. So for ISTPs, really experimenting and finding where do you find your superpower through something else is how you are going to find your purpose. Now, your creativity style for an ISTP, and you will smile if you're an ISTP hearing this going, oh, thank goodness. Creativity does not need to be sentimental. It does not need to be abstract. It does not need to be planned. And it certainly does not need to be pretentious. So for you, you know, getting rid of the red tape, getting rid of bureaucracy, you can actually just go fix something and not waste time. In fact, your creative solution is something that is vitally needed in that moment, simply. So taking that purpose with where can you extend your human power with what type of a tool, what is that thing you're an expert at, and then not wasting time just going and fixing it is your creativity style. And for artisan crafters, it's almost like a, oh, thank goodness.
Can I ask a quick question? With a tool that they can extend their human power by, you said that could be an expertise. Is that right? It doesn't have to be like a physical thing. It can be something that they're an expert in. Is that right?
Well, yeah, but they're still going to be using something. So like if they're an expert in accounting, it could be an Excel document. Okay. They can use, meaning I have experienced ISTPs who just have a masterful art, if you will, of using Excel. So if it's driving a car, if it's riding a bicycle, you know, it's something that is an extension of your fingertips.
Got it. So it can be, if you're using your expertise on something, let's say to help someone, it will be part of the tool, the actual tools that you use, whether they're virtual tools, whether they're in-person tools, whether they're physical tools, you're using something practical in order to do what you do. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Thank you.
No worries. Had to ask that one.
Yeah, no, this is great. Perfect. Okay, onward. The ESFP artisan performer. Oh, if you're an ESFP, your purpose is in playing and having fun and stimulating those around you with their senses and pleasurable emotions. It is a very warm world for your purpose. It's lifting other people's spirits with your contagious good humor and irrepressible joy of living. So we can just get a really good feel of, wow, that performer lives in a really emotional, strong, happy world. Now, the number one word I use for creativity for ESFPs is art play. Art play. By your actions, your enthusiasm, that strong empathy that you have to in which you inspire others, you're going to just bring beauty to the people around you. It could be music, food, sounds. It could be put through what I like to call a mesh of feelings that could be really described as kind of your special of the day. Okay. So again, I'm going to just kind of reiterate this a little bit. Through your enthusiasm, your empathy, those quick, fast actions that you do, you're going to create a scenario for those around you that is really something that they can be entertained by. Okay. And remember, you can use your five senses to look at colors and scents and sounds and textures in order to help stimulate those around you. So using that creativity style of stimulation and enthusiasm and empathy in this world of beauty and putting that into your purpose of stimulating those around you with play and fun and love, that is the golden nugget for you.
I love that. I think I've mentioned this before. My mom was definitely an ESFP. It's like you were just describing her. 100% hit right there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And the ESFPs that we know in this world, you know, and we will see entertainers that are ESFPs because they are performers. And that does not mean that all performers are ESFPs, not in at all. But with the ones we do know and the ones we do see, this just exudes from them. Okay, and we would never know them if they hadn't tapped into their greatest potential.
Yeah.
I love
that one.
Yeah, yeah. ISFPs, the artisan composer. Now, this is a very quiet world. Okay. ISFPs are all auction. My words aren't coming. It's an early Monday morning as we're recording this, folks. ISFPs are all action, little talk. And for an ISFP, it is absolutely perfectly wonderful that it's all action with little talk. So know that. Don't think that that's, you know, something to work on. Little talk, all action, it's great for you. Now, you have an outstanding grasp of what fits and doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. That is your purpose. So when you think about, you know, I do go to the arts with these folks. When you think about a choreographer or a painter or an interior designer, you know, a writer, a chef, they're going to show up and they're going to be amazing at what they do. And when we think really about all of those things I just listed there, they're not talking. They're in action, you know, creating textures and colors or shapes or forms or, you know, whatever that is for that particular craft, okay, that they're working on or that they're composing, if you will. And when we think about even composing food, you know, that's the in-depth combination that goes on for these folks. That is your purpose. All action, little talk in this very, very rewarding area that you find that you can bring your talent to. Now, creativity for the ISFP. In your creative suits, this is where you're going to find your best avenue to show your true self and engage with your work. Show your true self and engage with your work. And for ISFPs, what I said is a very big deal. And if you're an ISFP, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But inspiration for you is going to come via your deep emotions and your inner passion. That's what's going to drive the purpose of whatever it is you do, whether you're a chef or a novelist or, you know, a choreographer. This is going to drive that work, your deep emotions and inner passion. Okay. And the main reason ISFPs create is simply the personal satisfaction of engaging in an action. So again, you know, other temperaments listening to this may not understand, but trust me, ISFPs will understand exactly what I just said. Yes, it is just the action. It is living in the moment, but they have this unique combination because of their purpose of how to do that in a way that's just brilliant.
Perfect. Yep.
All right. So that's it for the artisans. Now we're going to get into the rational world.
Your people, Jeannie.
I know. This is the easiest for me. Okay. So we're going to start with the ENTJ, the rational field marshal. So your purpose as an ENTJ is to be the leader of leaders. We'll call you the super leader. So if you think about coordinating, you know, personnel and material and all of these other different things, but it's in a very different way than the ESTJ, because your head's above others in both the actual putting it together and actually completing the process. Okay. So when we think about this, you're launching major enterprises would be a great way to look at this. Supervisors are best serving their purpose in smaller areas, but for the field marshal, it is the enterprise. It is the larger equation of all the sums of everything else within there. Okay. They're going to have this natural urge. I'm laughing from some examples Marianne and I used in earlier conversations. They're going to have this natural urge to bring order and efficiency to people and resources and make sure that there's minimum waste of effort and maximum progress. And they're going to be all over making sure that happens. That is the field marshal. That is your purpose. Now, creativity for the field marshal. It lies in having both the ideas and the plans, which is that main difference I was speaking to with compared to the supervisors. Your creativity lies in having both ideas and plans. When you can envision the future, you can make it happen. Okay, and you can show your creativity by strategically executing that plan, reaching your goals, and that's how you're going to become leaders in virtually anything you try, and you will see field marshals as leaders in virtually every field because of this. Think ideas and plans and strategically making that happen. That is your creativity style. Tie that now to the purpose, being the leader of leaders, the super leader. That is your golden nugget. As a field marshal, you probably already know that or feel that. That is what you need to really focus on in order to grow to your greatest potential.
Absolutely. And I've seen, as you know, my partner's an ENTJ. I'm very familiar with this. And I always remember something you said, Jeannie, which is if an ENTJ isn't in charge, they're still in charge.
Mm-hmm. That's how they make things happen. And so, sometimes we feel embarrassed should we really be taking charge of everything? If you want to grow to your greatest potential, if you are an ENTJ, the answer is yes, absolutely be in charge, take charge. And if you can't in that situation, move on to the next, because that is where you are going to make it in this world.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. And this is one, so I have seen stuck ENTJs in the past, and something I see them get stuck in is around the idea of creativity, around the idea that creativity has a certain note to it, that you should be able to sit alone in an apartment and just paint without a purpose, or just photograph or make music without a purpose. And I've seen them very stuck. And it's really interesting because ENTJs are not used to being stuck. They're used to being very competent. And the advice I've always given them around this is you need a goal and you need to lead something. Even if that's a little free range project that you create, you need an end goal, you need something to lead. When you start, you're going to bring people in, even if it's just people who are like enthusiastic you'll talk to people, you'll find people, you will end up leading something. But if you sit alone and go, I'm just going to do this with no goal, it's not going to move forward. So you need to put something in place, and free range projects can be life changing for ENTJs because you get to lead that project, whatever form it takes. Does that fit with you, Jeannie, in terms of their creativity?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think actually, if we think about each one of these descriptions that we've given, yes, if we're doing almost like the opposite of that, right, and we're stuck, we need to look to this and say, oh my gosh, I'm stuck. I'm a leader. I'm not out leading anything or people. I need to go out and find a project to get me going again.
And final thing I'll say, you really came up for me listening to this particular profile, that so many of us listen to our profiles, or we read something and we think, but how is that helping? Am I being too much? Am I not being enough? And in this profile, because I was talking to my partner about this the other day, I was saying how much of a gift it is when someone acts in their flow. So when he is an ENTJ, takes control in organizing things, for me, that's the biggest gift as an ENFP that I can receive. And sometimes we don't, because we've been in environments where we didn't fit, we forget this idea, this free range idea, that our things that are our weaknesses are actually our strengths in the right environment. And so if you ever felt like an ENTJ, oh, but I need to tone it down, not take control, it's like, well, you need to find something to take control of that is going to be happy with that, that where your place, where you do fit, because it is a gift to others. And that's the saying goes for everyone, whatever your thing is, it's a gift when it's in the right environment. So we need to pull back the ideas that we're, you know, too much, not enough when we're in our flow, because I think we've all come up against them in the past.
I just love that, Marianne. That is such real advice. And it does, it comes from the hurt, right? That we've all had not being in the right fit. And when we, you know, and then we challenge ourselves, right? Of who we are and how do we tone it down? And the whole point is we don't want to tone it down. It really is the best advice. You want to put yourself in a position where you can tone it up.
Perfect. Love that.
Oh, yeah,
I'll let you get back.
Okay. INTJ, rational mastermind. I know a tad bit about this one. This one is actually my temperament, folks. So when it comes to creating order out of complex things, that is an INTJ's purpose. And we have almost like a secondary purpose. INTJs are heads above others when it comes to contingency planning. So what I mean by that is if something happens, we're going to be able to pull out four more tools if that first tool doesn't work. So for instance, if I'm giving a very large speaking engagement and the microphone goes out, you know, I will jump in without even thinking about it in order to figure out a way for everyone to be able to hear me. That is just one example of where contingency planning comes in. But when we think about that opportunity by being able to create order out of very complex things, it's that combination that is the golden nugget, the purpose for the rational mastermind. Now, where is this creativity lie for people like us? We are constantly monitoring every channel for new information. I don't care whether it's the song, it's the internet, it's talking with Marianne. Inspiration is going to come in a jolt from somewhere. So we like to explain this. It's like lightning bolts. All of a sudden we have this huge aha moment. The first step is intuition, intuitively, like understanding it, feeling, and then all of a sudden it comes with a burst. So when you take that creativity, those bursts, and you tie them back into how you create order out of complex things using these tools and contingency planning, that's it for INTJs. That is the answer. That's the nugget.
Brilliant. I can't add to that because it is your profile. You do know what you're talking about. I would say as a non-INTJ that I find INTJs to be such a gift when they're in their flow because of all those things.
All right. So onward. The ENTP, the rational inventor. Okay. Now, if you're an ENTP, your purpose is the building of prototypes. It is the building of devices that work to make systems more effective and efficient. So if you think about, again, you know, the field marshal is going to be in charge, making sure it all works. The INTJ is going to, you know, make complex things more simple. The inventor actually is going to be creating this thing. Okay, they have a very, very inventive talent. You do if you're an ENTP. Taking this ingenuity, it can come into so many different types of systems. It could be a social system. It could be a mechanical system. It could be a physical system. But it has to feed your hunger for the know-how. So knowing how it works and getting your hands in there and again, creating the prototypes, that is the purpose for the inventor. Now, where does this creativity come in? The thought of the impossible. So if you're an ENTP, taking the impossible and making it possible, okay, solving these types of things through your inventiveness and finding a better way, that's it. So building it and finding a better way and just bursting through the impossible and making things possible, that is your golden nugget as a rational inventor and ENTP.
Love that.
And the last on our list, but in no order, certainly not the least, is the INTP, the rational architect. Now, if you're an INTP, your superpower is your ability to analyze and understand the very complex things in this world. Okay, so this is a little hard to get your head wrapped around if you're not an INTP, but if you are, you'll know what I'm talking about. The external reality is just not important to the rational architect. It's more important for you to really understand deeply the underlying structures of the universe. It's this whole abstract process of designing models and providing information in the way you make things happen, but very much in an analytical way to understand and explain those things that the rest of us do not understand and are not explained. Okay, so rational architects, that is your superpower. So many times when I work with rational architects, they think they have to be the implementers. And that is not the case here. They're the analyst. They're the analytical who explains this very complex thing called the universe, whether it be chemical compounds or the way that the ocean, you know, flow in the ocean. I mean, really, these are very complex scientific type things that the world needs a better understanding of. That is their power. They don't need to implement it. They need to understand it. Okay, now creativity.
They're good as experts. Is that right? They're good as experts on subject matter.
Experts, but through, they're going to become experts over time. Yeah. Because they're going to continually analyze their area of expertise and in more difficult and complex ways. So, and I'll say this for all rationals, rationals tend to mature later in life because they're gathered their tools, they've been building their expertise. So you will see rationals in their 50s, 60s, 70s, sometimes even 80s hit their peak of their career.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Now, for the INTP, who's this very deep analytical, you know, person of how to, who, that explains how the world exists, creativity does not have to exist outside of one's mind. It comes from your love of pondering these infinite possibilities in the abstract as you make sense of randomness. So that is creativity while you serve your purpose in this whole, you know, deep analysis of explaining how the world works. Okay. So again, when I talk about creativity, the sense of randomness, when you see that and trying to understand why did that exist, that is your creativity style. And again, you know, if you're not an INTP, you might, you know, sit here and be listening to this going, wow, that's pretty deep stuff. Well, for a rational architect, it is their stuff. And it's very different in, you know, this natural world that we live in.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you.
All right. So there we have it. We have 16 purposes, 16 creativity styles. And again, using these as very important filters by which we can ensure we're tweaking that idea, we're really focusing purposefully on how we're molding this idea we have so that it becomes easier to us, because that is how we're hardwired, and it is going to allow us to grow to our greatest potential and make the biggest difference in the world.
Thank you so much, Jeannie. This is so helpful to hear through. And again, a reminder for people listening through, this is stuff to enhance what you do, not to be a barrier. So we always take the actions of what we have in front of us and use it as a little bit of an enhancement. And what I've discovered over time is that it's through action that these things get clearer and clearer. It's when we take those steps and we try something out and we go, you know what?
maybe that didn't fit me. How can I bring some of this in? That's when this stuff can really come to life. So I hope you found something useful here. If it's something that you want more help on, we do have stuff coming up at the Ideas Adventure. Jeannie does amazing work with people. I'm sure there's lots of other stuff that we've got as well over in Free Range Land. So do make sure you put your name down on the in the little form on this page so you can keep up to date with other things we've got coming up that might help bring this to life. But you have a lot to work with thanks to Jeannie's generosity in sharing here. So do get started. And Jeannie, thank you so much. I know that this information, you took a real time to distill it down. And I really appreciate you doing that and sharing it with the Free Range Human readers today.
Well, thank you, Marianne. I really appreciate the opportunity to share.
Thanks, guys.